Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. It's not every day you see bike riders, mass transit advocates, and AAA on the same side of a political controversy. But today's the day. They are all incensed over a transportation funding bill that a House committee is expected to vote on today. Andy Clark, president of the League of American Bicyclists, is our first guest on this. Then we'll hear from drivers and truckers groups representative. But Andy, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And I'll tell you, it was the unusually alarmed tone of your press release yesterday that first alerted us to this bill. You say it would eliminate all dedicated funding for bicycle and walking infrastructure that currently exists and cut out bikers from the planning process for future transportation projects. So give us some background. Do federal tax dollars fund things like bike lanes today?
They do. A very small percentage, but about 1 to 1.5% of the federal transportation funds have in the last over the last 20 years gone to support investments like trails and bike lanes and other opportunities to get people walking, to get people riding. There's been a Safe Routes to School program that's helped get kids back on their feet and on bikes to get safely to and from school. As I say, it's a tiny portion of the overall bill. And we knew that that was going to be under some kind of challenge and that the House leadership wanted to get rid of that tiny piece of the bill and get it back onto the highway side of things. What we weren't expecting was the effort that we're seeing to actually cut the cycling community and the walking community out of the planning process and out of the project delivery process to simply not let us have a seat at the table when it comes to deciding what highway projects and roads and plans look like.
Before we bring in our guest from AAA, proponents of the bill say what it really does is let states have more say in how transportation aid is spent rather than the federal transportation department. So you call it elimination of dedicated federal bicycle funds. They call it an end to earmarks and more flexibility for the states to use the federal grants to design their own bikeways or whatever else. Is that so bad?
We certainly don't mind the removal of earmarks. Our issue is that if we're truly talking about a transportation system that's developed from the ground up at the local level, the states have not been our best allies. They have not been the best help in terms of developing livable communities and providing cycling and walking infrastructure. And we don't think that's good, not just for cyclists and pedestrians, but for people driving and people trying to take trucks around the community, because they don't want to be stuck in traffic any more than we do. We see the role of cycling and walking as having potentially a dramatic effect in getting traffic off the road that doesn't need to be there, that's making very short trips that are bunging up the roads with traffic that just doesn't need to be there. We see the flexibility that is claimed for this bill actually being very adverse for local control over transportation decision making. It places a lot of power in the hands of state departments of transportation and governors who are really not in touch with the local community needs of what cities in the across the country in New York City and the metro area really need.
And the federal government is?
No, the federal government has never been a big player in this. The federal government has collected the money through the federal gasoline tax and redistributed it down to the states and very occasionally to the local level. The federal government, the idea that the federal government is deciding local transportation projects is just wrong. It's been a pass-through program to get it into the hands of states. We'd love to see it get straight into the hands of local agencies.
Mm-hmm, I see. Also joining us now as we talk about the House transportation bill being voted on today, if the vote goes as planned, in the Transportation and Infrastructure committee and getting strong reactions from advocates for bicyclists and pedestrians and drivers and truckers. Also joining us is Robert Sinclair. He's manager of media relations at AAA New York. Mr. Sinclair, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And I gather you're kind of on both sides of this bill. There are things you like about it and there are things you don't, right?
Well, yeah, that's a good assessment. Without a doubt, we need to get a new transportation funding bill. There hasn't been a reauthorization since 2009, and we're approaching a time now where much of our infrastructure has either gotten up to its service life or past its service life, and that's particularly so in the city of New York, which probably predates most of the country in having major infrastructure projects put in place back in the 1930s and 1940s when we had a New Yorker as president and when a lot of money was funded toward the city for infrastructure projects. Those bills are way past due, and we need a lot of work done in our area. And unfortunately, with this bill languishing as it has, it creates a lot of problems. Mr. Clark mentioning the fact that there would be an expiration of earmarks as part of the bill. It probably works against him because, as I understand it, most of the funding for bicycle and pedestrian-related facilities comes as a result of earmarks, but there's been so much abuse of them that a lot of people want to see them go. So we think that there needs to be some provisions put in place where all users of the roads and the highways, cars and trucks and pedestrians and bicyclists would have their needs addressed by an overall bill without having earmarks, or if earmarks continue, at least to have the oversight on them to make sure that they go toward where the need is and not to things like bridges to nowhere.
Well, I read yesterday that AAA is unhappy because the bill lets much bigger trucks onto the road, and AAA fears for car drivers' safety. The current limit for trucks is 80,000 pounds. This would take it up over 100,000 in some cases, and AAA doesn't want to think about collisions with those babies. New Jersey Senator Lautenberg also came out against the bill for that reason. I guess he was imagining pileups on the turnpike and cars at such a disadvantage already in terms of the survival of the drivers. Do you have an issue with truck size?
No, without a doubt. Back in 2005, we did a study on cars versus trucks and crashes. I mean, as if a study needed to be done when you consider that trucks are, like you say, have a limit of 80,000 pounds. But believe me, there are a lot of them on the road that are exceeding that limit. And when a truck has a collision with a car, surprise, surprise, the car loses. And we do worry that with the limits eliminated on truck weight, that you'll have vehicles there that have a tremendous amount of weight. And trucks have a very difficult time stopping and maneuvering, and we're particularly against these turnpike double trucks and the triple trailer trucks that you've seen, and the devastation that they can cause when they're involved in a crash. Yeah, so for that reason, we do have our problems with the bill, but certainly there needs to be some update of transportation reauthorization when you look at certain facilities in New York City, in and around New York City. I'm thinking the Tappan Zee Bridge, the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, the Gowanus Expressway. These facilities are in drastic need to be not repaired but completely replaced.
So Andy Clark from the American Bicyclist League, do you see yourself in competition with the AAA when Bob talks about the need for upgrades of the Tappan Zee Bridge, which they're hoping to replace, and the BQE and so forth? Do you hear this as in competition with your desire or somehow complementary of your desire to have good bikeways and walkways?
There's a lot that we have in common, and the need for replacing major infrastructure projects like that, no one's going to deny that. The Tappan Zee Bridge is a great example of a project that's going to include bike and pedestrian access across it, which is a smart thing to do given that the new bridge is going to be there for 80 to 100 years or however long the lifespan of the bridge is. That's a smart way to go about building a transportation infrastructure that serves everybody, and it's what this new bill will change as far as we're concerned. We have a lot in common in wanting the roads to be in good repair. The League of American Wheelmen in the 1880s argued for the good roads movement and for getting our roads paved for the first time because a good surface quality is so important to us. That is a serious challenge when there are bigger and longer trucks with heavier weights tearing up the roads. So,
but when he talks about getting earmarks out of the bill, which is what the House Republicans want, also one of the things that they want, does that come into direct conflict with your statement earlier that you would like to see federal funds bypass the states and go directly to localities for specified bicycle programs?
No, I didn't say for specified bicycle programs. Right now, for the last 20 years, there's been a core program as part of the federal transportation program, not an earmark, a core program called the Transportation Enhancements Program that's been a primary source of funding for bicycle and pedestrian projects. It's a tiny, tiny portion of the overall bill. There have indeed, in prior bills, been earmarks that individual members of Congress have asked for specific bicycle and pedestrian projects, in large part because the state DOTs have just refused to do them over the years. But that process is not a good process. Having those kind of individual earmarks that bypass the planning process, that irritate the state DOTs, that may or may not be good projects, no one likes that as a planning and project delivery process.
So Robert Sinclair from AAA, will you get on board with Andy Clark's agenda, or does the AAA feel competitive with the bicyclists and pedestrian advocates in terms of where this transportation dollar goes?
No, I think that, like Mr. Clark says, that our interests are indeed complementary. I mean, when he talks about the fact that the quality of the roads will make a difference as far as bicycle users is concerned, that's entirely accurate.
So you're afraid that this House bill also would make it more difficult to create bikeways?
Well, I'm not sure that it would do that, but, you know, he mentions the fact that we need to have more local control. And certainly that is the case. But some projects that might be of a greater interest to trucks and motorists would probably be something that have to be done on a state level. I'm thinking like a rail freight tunnel, for example, to reduce the dependency of our region on trucks and to get more trucks off the road, which would help everybody. But certainly things that we're fully in favor of. You know, an approach that would address the needs of all users of roads, and particularly pedestrians and bicyclists. And we advocate to our members, we give them information about sharing the roads with bicyclists and doing it safely.
Robert Sinclair, Manager of Media Relations at AAA New York. Andy Clark, President of the League of American Bicyclists, and also joining us now is Sean McNally, Press Secretary for the American Trucking Association. Sean, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So the American Trucking Association, or I should say the trucking portion of the bill, is coming under criticism from the AAA and others, as you heard, because it would increase the allowable limit for the weight of trucks from 80,000 up to, in some cases, over 100,000 pounds. I'm not sure that the average listener has a sense of what that means in real terms. Those are such big numbers. But you're for the bill for that reason. Why do you want this?
Well, it's not let's be clear on a couple things. It's not necessarily the trucking industry that wants it. It's our customers. It's our shippers. It's folks who have goods to deliver to market who are calling for this, and we're supportive of that because we want to be good providers of service. Another thing that your listeners should know is that this isn't a federal mandate. This would be states, if they wanted to, could, in certain circumstances, raise the truck weight limit to 97,000 pounds on six axles, if that's what they chose to do, and put those on the interstate highways. Many states, including New York, have provisions in their transportation state transportation law that these heavier trucks can already operate off the interstates. What this bill would do would put them on the interstates, which are the best designed and safest highways that we have. And it's a great way, studies have shown, to take trucks off the road. I mean, there's a study from Federal Highway Administration that showed that you'd reduce truck VMT by about 11%. That's 11% fewer truck miles being traveled, 11% fewer trucks. And that would be great for congestion, for AAA, for bicyclists, for all of us. And
How about the accident concern, the safety concerns that Senator Lautenberg has raised and that the AAA has raised, even heavier trucks and the potential of colliding with cars and what that would mean for the drivers?
Well, it's important to note that every crash or accident on our highway is a tragedy, whether it's a 80,000-pound truck or it's a 97,000-pound truck. So that's important for folks to realize. If this were unsafe, if we felt this were unsafe, we wouldn't be advocating for it. What we believe is that with the addition of the extra axle, addition of extra braking, they would still have to comply with all federal rules and regulations regarding to stopping distance and the like and other safety requirements, that you would reduce crashes by reducing frequency, reducing risk. If you reduce the number of trucks on the road, there's fewer crashes that will occur.
So Robert Sinclair from AAA, what about that? If we're talking about the limit going from 80,000 pounds to 97,000 pounds, and I gather in some other categories it does get up over 100,000, but from 80,000 pounds to, say, 100,000 pounds, is that the difference between being crushed by 12 elephants and 13 elephants, and it doesn't actually matter to the safety of the driver?
Well, you'd get crushed no matter what that weight. I mean, it's all very heavy, but that kind of extra limit might have fewer trucks on the road, but each one of them would be that much heavier and capable of doing more damage.
What about that fewer trucks on the road? Why wouldn't that be in the interest of the average car driver?
Well, fewer trucks on the road would indeed be in the interest of the average car driver, and that's why I mentioned the rail freight tunnel earlier, because New York has a disproportional reliance on trucks. Probably 95 to 97% of the freight in our area gets delivered by truck. So if we had that rail freight tunnel where we could bring freight in from New Jersey directly into Brooklyn or Queens, and then smaller trucks doing the local distribution, that would go a long way. That'd probably be the biggest change that could happen as far as safety and congestion on our roads.
That's something that's been advocated very strongly for years by Congressman Gerald Nadler of New York, among others. He's been a particularly vocal proponent of a rail freight tunnel. Is that something that the American Truckers Association opposes because that would be competition for the truckers, or don't you take a position on that?
We don't take a position on that. Really, it's ironic that a large portion of the pushback on this on the truck productivity portions of the highway bill is coming either directly or indirectly, from the railroad industry. The trucking industry is among the biggest consumers of rail services. So we oftentimes are partners in transportation and delivering America's goods. So we don't oppose the use of, the rails working with states to develop infrastructure. I think what we would oppose is the rails getting funding that, they are not paying into the highway trust fund and using highway trust fund or transportation dollars from diesel taxes and the like to fund other projects.
And Andy Clark from the League of American Bicyclists, what we haven't really talked about at all is mass transit. And so I wonder if, since bicyclists and mass transit advocates are often pretty aligned, if you see this House version of the transportation bill as more tilted than federal policy has been in the past toward roads in general and cars and trucks in general, and more away from mass transit and trains and pedestrians and bicyclists.
Bottom line, yes. I mean, to me, it looks like a bill that could have been written in the 1950s and is a somewhat akin to a communications bill being written that supports the use of 8-track systems. It's not a forward-looking bill. It's not a bill with a big vision, and that's a real challenge. And I think there are a lot of opportunities to bring groups like the Trucking Association and AAA and the cycling and walking community together with projects that and programs that benefit all of us by just taking a longer-term view of where our communities and where our cities are going, making them more walkable and bikeable, actually makes them easier and better and more comfortable and safer to drive in and to manage truck traffic through. So there's a lot that we ought to be doing together instead of, and it doesn't make such good radio for us to not be having a punch-up, but there's a lot that we can agree on that we need to be investing in rather than sort of throwing our hat in with a 1950s-style transportation program.
And there is a lot that you have agreed on today and some that you've disagreed on, the bottom line being that this new version of a House transportation bill seems like it's going to be the hottest debated transportation bill in years. There is a Senate version that's different, so this House version is not going through in this form. No doubt the Democrats who control the Senate have a different view. but debate joined on how to fund roads, rails, bikeways, and pedestrian walkways in a different way now in this election year of 2012. So we thank Andy Clark, president of the League of American Bicyclists, Robert Sinclair Jr., manager of media relations at AAA New York, and Sean McNally, press secretary for the American Trucking Association. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up next. The Facebook paradox. Its business model with this new IPO is based on getting you to share your financial information with them while they won't share their financial information with you. We'll dig beneath that. Stay with us.